life-changing. Let's warmly welcome them here. John 3:16 is what we're going to deal with tonight. And I want to use for a topic tonight, is there anything too hard for God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, I want to talk tonight from the question, is there anything too hard for God? Allow me to begin tonight by taking a little poll or a little sensor, if I may, tonight. And the truth is, you really don't have to raise your hand. Just lift up your heart a little bit if I touch you. And that is, do you find it sometimes hard to trust God? Don't raise your hand. All of us here will go through a season in life, and the truth told, we have trouble trusting God. If you're here tonight and that's not you, you're lying to yourself. The question is not whether or not you trust God being. I mean, you know He exists. But the issue is, can I trust you with me right now? My stuff, my situation, my heart broken, my sickness, my rejection, my loneliness, where are you, God, when it hurts me? I see what you're doing in Reggie's life. I see how you show up in Paulette's life. But where are you when I call you? I'm just asking a question. When you find yourself going through something, and the truth is, I wonder, God, where are you? Why do I have to go through so much pain? Why do I have to go through so much rejection? Where were you when I lost my child? Where were you when my car got repossessed? Where were you when my house got foreclosed on? Where were you when cancer came in my body? Where are you, God, when it hurts? The question tonight is there anything too hard for God? God has a unique way and sometimes a slow way of expressing Himself. Sometimes you can pray and you can ask God for something and it seems like instantly He shows up in your life. And then again, you can pray and you can ask God for something and it seems like He didn't even hear it. Is there anything too hard for God? God loves us, and He loves us so much that He gave us His very best. He gave us His Son. He gave us Jesus Christ. And as Jesus was on the cross, Jesus said to God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So if Jesus said that to God, certainly you ask the same question. I mean, if Jesus, who from the beginning has been with God all along, knows God, He is God, a part of God, and yet He says, why me, why now, why won't you deliver me, why, when? If Jesus asked the question, certainly you're asking that same question.
See, sometimes we act like we're so holy, we're so together, like we're just going through something, and though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The truth, though, I'm not there. I want to know sometimes. You need to talk to me. You need to tell me, God, where are you? You need to tell me why this thing hurts so bad. You need to tell me when you're going to deliver me. You need to let me know something so I can stay on this battlefield, because I'm tempted sometimes to go back to the comfort zone, go back to the club, go back to the wrong relationship, go back to doing what I used to do because it was comfortable back in Egypt. Now you're talking about delivering me to a promised land. And every step that I take, it seems like it's getting harder and harder and harder. But is there anything too hard for God? Now, God loves us, and so he expressed himself. What I want to deal with is three categories of his expression. Three ways in which God shows us that he loves us. The first is character love. Just by nature. Just who he is. Just God being God. He shows us that he loves us. Just the mere fact that you got in your car, drove your car, and you were inches from another car traveling 50, 60, perhaps 90 miles an hour, and grace stood in and said, you stay there, and they're going to stay right here. That's love. That's his character love. The fact that you laid down last night and you woke up this morning and your house was still there, no fire, no one standing over you with a gun or a knife, that's the character love of God. So he expressed himself through character love. Just the mere fact that he's God. Everything that he does for you is a demonstration or somehow which he show us his love. So when God is God, which is all the time, he's showing us his character, which is an expression of his love. Character love. Number two is covenant love. In other words, now God is God, but sometimes we sin. When we sin, what we deserve is to be disconnected from God, because that's what sin does. And then what we deserve is hell. But he says, the covenant love that I have for you, because I made a vow, a covenant, a promise with your father Abraham, I'm going to stay right by your side. I'm glad the Bible says that God is married to the backslider. I'm glad that there's nothing that I can do to make God says, I want to divorce you. I'm glad there's nothing that I can do to make God turn his back on me. Because he can't do it, because he's in a covenant relationship with me. And no matter how bad I am, he can't walk away from me. I may choose to walk away from him, but he's still in the same place. Now that's love. Because I can't give you that. Because you can't give no other person that. Because if a person wronged you, you're gone. Maybe I'll come back next year after you matured and we worked some stuff out. But if you do the same thing again, I'm gone again. God is saying, I'm married to you. You keep backsliding, but I'm still married to you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We're in a covenant relationship in which he expressed himself to us in that way. Character love. Covenant love. And the third type of love that he expresses, which means he's still doing it today, expresses himself to us, is Calvary love. That is, when he died on the cross, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Now, I'm glad that he didn't allude to the fact that that's it. You get it now, or that's it. He says gave. The word gave means a continuous giving. He give you new mercy every day.
Amen.
In spite of you, or perhaps because of us, he gives us every day. He says, you need new mercy every day. You need forgiveness every day. I need to go back and touch you again. So every day he opened up an escape for us so that we can escape from sin. He expressed himself in character love, covenant love, and Calvary love.
Well, that's a wonderful thing how God expresses himself. But how do we receive the love is the issue. God has already done everything for us. And he says, whosoever. And so what we say to God is, I reject that. That's not good enough for me. When God bless you and you say, that's nothing to me. That's you rejecting God. Because God is saying, what more can I do? What more can I give you? Is there anything too hard for God? Listen to what I'm saying to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave Jesus Christ. Anything that you ask of God is less than Jesus Christ. So the question, is there anything too hard for God? No, because he gave the hardest thing it was to give. He gave Jesus Christ. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're asking him for tonight is peanuts compared to him giving his only begotten son. So will he do it? Yes, he will do it. Whatsoever you ask in my name, he says, I'll do it.
Amen.
Whatsoever you ask in his name. The issue becomes, are you asking in his name? Are you asking in his nature? Are you standing in the image of God when you ask God for something? If I'm in the image of God, I can't ask God to kill Jeff. He won't do it. Whatsoever you ask in my name. So what he's saying is that you have to be like me, think like me, have my spirit when you ask. Then he says, don't do that. Remember the Bible says that, and my God shall supply all your needs. If God is supplying it, it means he's already purchased it. If he already purchased it, and I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and I am Jesus' brother, God is my father, what my daddy has in the storehouse, in the barn, is mine. Whatever you're asking God for is nothing compared to what he already gave. You want a car? He said, that's all you want? Is a car? I came to give you life. Not just life, but more abundant. You asking me for a Pinto, and I got a Mercedes for you. What you asking me for? Nothing. It's peanuts in comparison to what he's already given you. The hurt, the pain that we're going through. God says what you're going through is nothing in comparison to what Jesus experienced on the cross. When he hung there for you and I, he says that was pain. Your little temporary embarrassment because you didn't get the job, or you got a job but you didn't get the promotion, he says it's nothing in comparison to what Jesus went through. He says, now here is Jesus, one who was born into a sinful world, never sinned, died. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for folk like me who was just swimming in sin. And he says, that's okay. I'll die for you. You will?
Now, okay. Now, you know Judas sold you out. I'm going to do it plenty of times. You know, Peter denied you. Oof, I'm going to reject you a lot. That's okay. Are you sure? Yeah. You still going to die for me? Yeah. Because I know what I placed inside of you. I know that greater is He that is in you. Listen to what I'm saying. If there's somebody else inside of you, He's not talking about you. Okay? It's the one that is inside of you. So He says, from the time that I put you in the belly of your mom, I knew you. I knew you. God, did you really know the stuff that I do when I'm not at church? Yeah. I knew you. Some of the things that you do outside of church is some stuff that you never get rid of. I know I'm supposed to tell you that God will deliver you from everything. He can, but He may not. He may leave some old ugly thing right here in your side. So every now and then, when you get cute and real holy, He'll allow it to buffet you, to knock you down, to put you back on your knees, get back on your knees. See, because if He removed everything, you won't call upon Him. But when you're going through something, and in the midst of going through something, every now and then, He allows your closet door to swing open. Allow someone to see the ugly side of you. Allow you to be embarrassed, and you really have to call upon His name. He says, right there, my grace is sufficient. It's in your weakness that His grace is sufficient, not in your so-called strength. So He allows you to see your weakness so that you can humble yourself to Him. And when you humble yourself to Him, He says, now my grace is sufficient. For God so loved. Point number one, love is expression. Love is how God showed Himself to us. He expressed Himself. The Bible declares that faith without works is dead. So if you have faith and you never express your faith through words, you really don't have faith. So God is saying, for me to be God, I gotta show you me. God did not have to allow us to be born. But perhaps God looked at Himself and said, I am so, not good, I am so God. I want to see some more just like me. I'm going to create mankind in my image. And I'm going to create mankind in my image. And I'm going to wait until Satan turned his back on me and lead one third of the angels with him from a perfect heaven down to earth. Then I'm going to create man a little lower than the angels, but they're going to be obedient to me, and I'm going to do a mighty work through them in spite of them. I'm going to express myself. For God so loved the world that He gave. In other words, He gave you, which means He moves from His expression to empowerment. What He gave you was Him. He said, here, here I am. See, again, and I don't literally mean this, but the issue with Jesus on the earth is that Jesus was in one place at one time. When Jesus died on the cross, He ascended to heaven. He says, I won't leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit descended. And so if Jesus is standing right here, He couldn't be over there. But when He ascended, the Holy Spirit can be there, 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 there. That's why He says, greater works you can do. Because you're empowered by what I gave you. It's a gift. Don't get cute. It's not your talent. It's a gift. For God so loved the world that He gave empowerment, His only begotten Son, that Whosoever believe. So he moves from expression to empowerment to entry. Whosoever believe, you got to go through my only begotten Son. You can't get to God without going through Jesus. Whosoever will. Jew, come on. It doesn't matter. Gentile, come on. Black, white, it doesn't matter. Whosoever will. Whosoever. I'm glad I'm inclusive. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he didn't start calling names accidentally or for whatever reason left your name out? Whosoever. I'm glad my name is in the book of life. I'm glad I'm a part of the whosoever. That in spite of what other people call me, I know what he said about me. He says, you're part of the whosoever. Whosoever will. Let him come. But what if their hair is long and they're wearing baggy clothes? What if they look like a thug? Whosoever. What if their dress is too short? What if they look like a hooker, a prostitute? Whosoever. Who are you to judge who comes to Christ? Who are you to say to someone they should look like this or they shouldn't wear that? Who are you? Jesus says, whosoever. How can you then go back and change the criteria? Who are you? He says, whosoever. Whosoever. Drunk? Come on. Drug addict? Come on. Prostitute? Adultery? Come on. Whosoever. All you have to do is enter into the door. Jesus says, I am the door. See, when you go through that door, you accept the fact that his body was broken for you, the fact that he shed his blood for you. And so now every time death comes your way, he says, but I plead the blood against that. Whosoever will, let him come. For God so loved the world, expression, that he gave empowerment, his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, entry, shall have everlasting life. Empathy. He looked at us and said, they can never make it without me. He empathized with you. And so he says, in order for you to get home, you need somebody to pay for your sins. God said about Abraham that Abraham was a friend of God. God loved Moses because Moses was a wonderful person. He can trust Jeremiah because Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. David was strong. David destroyed Goliath. He can trust Daniel. He took Daniel. He put Daniel in a den of lions. And Daniel, through faith, worked his way out. The three Hebrew boys, he can trust and put them in the fire. Through faith, God showed up. But they had issues. There wasn't peer. What do you do when everybody have issues? What do you do when no one can pay for your sin? God said, Listen. Since the beginning of time, zillions and zillions and zillions of years ago, there was always God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They've always been together. Nothing has ever separated them. Then along come you, and you're black in sin. And God said, for the first time, I'll separate the Trinity to save you. Now that's love. That's love. How can you reject it? How can you reject it? How can you reject it? Wrap your mind around everything that I've shared with you tonight. Tell me, how can you deny him? He didn't say, come to me perfect, come to me and you'll just, everything will be all right. He says, just come, just believe. That's all he wants you to do, is just believe. Just come. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. And he says, I'll give you everlasting life. But you must not know me, God. Because I'm a hot mess. You must not know me. And he says, it was you that I came for. And I came while you understood that you were a hot mess. I came for you. I want to stop right here. Because I want to open the doors of the church right now. I want to do this because I'm not sure if everybody here is saved. And if you are, I'm not sure that this word tonight, which was to revive you, if it touched you, I want you to express yourself by rededicating your life to Christ. You're saved, but you want to start all over again. Chapter number 3 began with the story of a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus, a ruler, and says, how can I be born again? Can I re-enter my mother's womb for the second time? Jesus says, no, you must be born of spirit. Spirit. Stand with me tonight. If there's someone here tonight that need to rededicate or receive Christ as your personal Savior tonight, as the deacons come, we extend that invite to you right now.